is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The election of 2024. The headline in the NBC News, Colorado Secretary of State urges Supreme Court keep Trump off the ballot. Colorado Secretary of State Gina Griswold asked the Supreme Court within these last hours, because the hearing is on the 8th, asked the Supreme Court to conclude that the state can lawfully bar former President Donald Trump from the Republican primary ballot because of his actions in 2020 that culminated in the Jan 6th attack on the Capitol. This is the Secretary of State in charge in Colorado of the ballot of the vote that is regular from state to state, to my knowledge. And helping me on this story, I welcome Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online, who's written much of these appeals by Colorado, and there was Maine for a while. As of now, Mr. Trump's name is on the ballot, primary ballot in Colorado. And also joined by my colleague and co-host, Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness. Andy, I begin because this is a brief filed by the Secretary of State to the Supreme Court. What does that mean? What is going to happen on February 8th about this question of ballot or no ballot? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. Well, what it means in the near term is that the court, even though I think it does not want to intrude or be perceived as intruding into the politics of the 2024 election, also appreciates or apprehends that it has an essential role, whether it wants to have it or not, with respect to some of the questions that are coming up. And the question about ballot access is obviously not only critically important, it's critically important that it be resolved on a quick timeline, because we're getting to the point not only of the primary season, but even the general election, where it has to be settled what the ballots are going to look like. They have to be, you know, printed or otherwise established in the different voting districts throughout the country. So the court knows that there's some urgency about getting this resolved. They also realize, I think, that I think it's close to three dozen states where there is some stage of litigation or another where people are trying to get Trump removed under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment from the ballot on the ground that they allege that he is an insurrectionist and is therefore disqualified under that provision. So the court accepted this case after Trump was booted from the ballot in Colorado by the Supreme Court there. He's also been booted from the ballot in Maine by the Secretary of State there, although that's basically in abeyance now to see what the Supreme Court does. There are other states where action is being taken. So after the Colorado case, John, on an expedited basis, the court took this case from Colorado. They had Trump file his brief last week. Colorado had to file its brief this week. And the court will hear argument next Thursday, I think, the 8th. So that's an extraordinarily quick timeline for the court.
Thaddeus, you have a question for Andy.
Andy, how long do you think it will take for the court, given their expedited decision to hear the case, how long will it take them to render a decision?
Thaddeus, I think it's going to be a quick decision, because I think there'll be a consensus on the court that they don't want to get into the politically charged factual issues of whether there was an insurrection on January 6th, 2021, and whether Trump participated in one. I think they will try to decide this on procedural grounds that they may be able to get more than six votes on. There are two things, really. First is, does Section 3 of the 14th Amendment actually apply to the president? I think there's a very strong textual argument that it doesn't. But the other thing that I think there'll be consensus on the court about is that there has to be some set procedure where a person gets due process before you could go to the length of removing what is really their constitutional right to seek office. And along those lines, Section 5 of the 14th Amendment says that it's for Congress to enact legislation that's necessary to enforce all the provisions of the 14th Amendment, which, of course, is the most important of the post-Civil War amendments. So I think there can be I'd be stunned if the court comes out 9-0. But I think there could be a pretty strong consensus on the court that Congress has not prescribed a procedure to determine that someone is an insurrectionist so that you would have a legal basis to take the person off the ballot. The closest Congress has come in that regard is it has a criminal statute, section, I think, 2383 of the criminal code, which makes it a crime to commit insurrection. And that's important because even though, in addition to Trump, the Justice Department has prosecuted over 1,200 people in connection with the Capitol riot, and nobody has even been charged with insurrection, much less convicted.
I read from the brief filed by the Colorado Secretary of State towards the close. The facts of this case are unprecedented, but the legal mechanism is routine. The dispute was capably and constitutionally handled by the procedures directed by Colorado's legislature to resolve these precise issues. This court should affirm and uphold Colorado's right to exclude from its presidential ballot ineligible insurrectionists. So, Andy, it turns on ineligible insurrectionists. Colorado is declaring yes. Has that been determined that it is not, that Trump is not an ineligible insurrectionist? Is that going to be resolved by the Supreme Court? It sounds like definition.
I think, John, that what you just read from the brief screams out that the most important issue here is the process, namely, does the state have the authority to prescribe the process, or is that for Congress? And I guess subordinate to that, if the state does have the power to enact a procedure to enforce a provision of the 14th Amendment, even though Section 5 vests Congress with that responsibility, are there some minimal due process requirements that the state has to comply with? This was not, I would point out, in the Colorado case, this was not a criminal trial. It was not a finding beyond a reasonable doubt. It was not a situation where, you know, Trump had the right to have discovery, confront his accusers, all the array of rights that a defendant would get in a criminal proceeding. So I think that the process question the court is going to have to answer is bifurcated. Number one, who has the power to promulgate procedures to enforce this provision of the 14th Amendment? And secondly, if they concede that the state does have this power, what are the due process minima that they have to comport with?
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Well, Andy, isn't it rather ridiculous to sit there and say that the facts are unprecedented, but the process is routine, because these unprecedented facts had never gone through this routine process before? Last time I looked, Colorado had not routinely been taking political stances to kick people off the ballot that they didn't like. So it's a fraud on its face, isn't it, to sit there and pretend that somehow this is normal and being and happening every single day?
Yeah,
the anarchy that would result from a state being able to do this, 50 different states being able to do this, is nuts. But that's
I agree with that. I used to not only write but edit appellate briefs in the U.S. Attorney's Office eons ago, and it seems to me that that's the kind of thing in a brief that a court would find very provocative. There's a number of things that you could say about this case that would be accurate. The idea that it's routine, or that there's anything routine about it, strikes me as ridiculous.
I also read from the brief. Petitioner Trump, this is the Secretary of State's brief, Petitioner Trump argues that Section 3 prohibits of the 14th Amendment prohibits insurrectionists only from holding office, but not from running for that same office. Thus, Mr. Trump contends by prohibiting an ineligible insurrectionist from appearing on a primary ballot, Colorado has imposed an extra constitutional qualification for the office of the presidency. Again, Andy, is the Supreme Court going to decide this? Because Colorado has declared the Section 3 14th Amendment applies. Does the Supreme Court come forward and say, no, it doesn't? Is that what we're waiting for?
Well, they could actually address that issue, John, because I think the thing they don't want to get into is the facts of whether Trump committed insurrection or not. And I think textually, it's a good argument that the 14th Amendment doesn't say that somebody cannot run for office. What it says is that no one shall be in, and then they list a group of offices. By the way, they do the presidency and the vice presidency are not offices that are in that catalog. But even before you get to whether the presidential office is covered, what the amendment says is that no one shall be, in other words, no one shall hold those positions who is committed insurrection after taking an oath to uphold the Constitution. I think it's entirely possible if the court were to just stick with textualism and not get too far into, like, what are the old cases from the 19th century say, they could very well say, you know, look, this isn't ripe. It doesn't address running for office. It addresses holding office. So why don't you get back to us after the election if Trump wins the election? And that way they don't have to decide it at all, except to say it's not a prescription against running for office.
Thaddeus, you had a quick question. We'll turn to the James case.
Yes, Andy, I apologize. My judicial temperament was provoked at the concept that this was routine. So, Andy, when you look at this on its face, is there not a strong argument, again, that somehow 50 states being able to do this could help bring the court around to see the ridiculousness of this?
Thaddeus, I'm not only worried about the 50-state problem, and former Attorney General Bill Barr, in an op-ed he wrote recently, addressed this as well, the idea of, like, ad hoc policies by 50 states. I would add to that that you have to worry about two waves of chaos, because that issue is not just the ballot access in one instance. It's ballot access with respect to the primaries and then ballot access with respect to the general election. Because some states, like, for example, I believe Minnesota has said that Trump can be on the ballot as far as the primaries are concerned, because the primary raises First Amendment association issues in partisan politics that are not part of the general election. So they've reserved the right to revisit this if Trump gets the nomination, which he certainly looks like he's a prohibitive favorite. So it's not just 50 states. It's almost as if it were 100 states, because we may have to go through two rounds of this.
Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online. Thaddeus McCarter, American Greatness. We turn to the civil lawsuit by the New York Attorney General Letitia James. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.